All right, today, being the last Sunday of the month, is our Supernatural Sunday, a Sunday where we intentionally preach a simple message to build faith and then pray towards that direction. This morning, I want to share with us on a simple topic, but sometimes it comes as a way of reminder for some of us. For some of us, it may be new. I want to talk to us about the words of Jesus when he said, "I give you authority." I want to talk about spiritual authority. The authority that the Lord Jesus has given to all of us as believers and how to exercise that spiritual authority. Now, in this message, we also want to address a question. The question is, do we as believers today have the same spiritual authority as the apostles? Do we as believers today have the same spiritual authority as the early church? Can we walk in that kind of authority? Because when we read the Gospels, when we read the book of Acts, we see both the apostles and we see the early church walking in spiritual authority over Satan and his demons. Do we as believers today have that same spiritual authority? I want to address that question as we go through the message. Now, just some things to think about. I realize 2,000 years have elapsed since Bible times, approximately, but the devil and his demons have not disappeared. They're still around, causing problems, all kinds of problems. Sometimes it could be physical. Sometimes people experience all kinds of torments in their minds. Sometimes things that happen in life situations that are not necessarily natural. You can't explain them by natural terms. And yet there are problems that people experience in life. And Jesus said it very clearly, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So there is a devil that steals, kills, and destroys. And just because you don't believe in it doesn't make it go away. Just because you deny it doesn't make it go away. Whether you like it or not, the devil and his demons are still doing their thing on the earth, affecting people, disturbing lives, causing trouble. Now, when the Lord Jesus began his ministry on the earth, it is very clear in the Gospels that he did not shy away from dealing with Satan and his demons. People came to him. They brought people who were troubled by evil spirits. And Jesus addressed that. He dealt with that. Just two verses of scripture. Matthew chapter 4, verses 23 and 24. This is the Lord Jesus. He walked in spiritual authority over Satan and demons in his earthly ministry. Matthew 4:24, it says, then his fame went throughout all Syria. They brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. So they brought people, all kinds of people, sick, all kinds of problems, and those who were demon-possessed. Now, how did they recognize demon possession? Obviously, there was something abnormal happening. Out of the normal. Say, hey, this person is being troubled. He's got devils, he's got demons in him. We've got to take them to Jesus. And Jesus set them free. Now, I remember a long time ago when I was running my own company, and during one of the projects, we were building a mental health system. And so I spent a lot of time talking to these psychologists. This was in the U.S. And so I had a friendship with these people going on. And these are highly qualified people. And so as part of the conversation, we eventually got into, they found out, okay, I'm running a company. I'm also a pastor. And so we got into this conversation. And I asked them, I said, you're a psychologist, psychiatrist. Okay. You know about demon possession. Yeah. Can you explain that? I said, no. That's a realm outside of psychology and psychiatry, right? But it's real. You can't just make it go away. It's real, but you can't explain it. So they don't even touch that. You can't go there, but it's real. So there is this realm where there are problems that we can't explain. And we recognize that Satan and his demons are troubling human lives. And they brought those kinds of people to Jesus and he healed them. Look at another verse of scripture in Matthew 8, verse 16. It says, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. They brought to him these people who were demon-possessed. Now, what did Jesus do? Now, don't get me wrong. We believe in counseling. But you don't counsel demons out. Don't get me wrong. We believe in caring for people. But you can't care demons out. What do you do with demons? You have to cast them out. So there's a place for counseling. There's a place for loving and caring for people. And there's a place we've got to deal with the devil inside. Oh, them or the devil that's tormenting, troubling their lives. And when you deal with the devil, you got to cast them out. That's what Jesus did. He cast them out with a word. With a word of command. That's how Jesus dealt with these evil spirits. He cast them out with a word. And he restored them. He healed the people. He restored health to them. He brought normalcy. He brought them into a place of normalcy. Made them well. But how? What did he do? He cast out the spirits with a word. The word of command. And he healed all who were sick. So it's very clear in the ministry of Jesus that he dealt with these spirits. And then very interestingly, in his earthly ministry, when Jesus selected 12 apostles, he called them. And he gave them authority. So you read about this in Matthew chapter 10, verses 1, 7, and 8. It says, the Lord Jesus delegated this authority to his disciples. Matthew 10, 1, 7, and 8. It says, when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And then he instructed them, verse 7, as you grow, preach saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely. Yeah. So he called these 12 disciples. He says, look, I am giving you this power. He's delegating this authority. He's extending the authority that he was walking in. He's saying, I'm giving it to you. You go. And among the things he instructed, he said, you cast out evil spirits. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you receive, freely give. So he delegated this. And obviously the apostles went and did it. But here's the problem. The problem is that in the Christian church, somewhere along the way, and you can trace this back to around 1500s, when theology became more formalized. And there were good men like John Calvin and Martin Luther and others who gave some structure to our understanding of the Bible formally. But sometimes their understanding was not necessarily right or complete. And John Calvin, being a good man, a good theologian, but sadly he introduced some wrong ideas. And one of the wrong ideas that he introduced was what is called cessationism, which is the miraculous ceased when the last apostle died. Now, those people who still study theology under Calvinism will embrace that kind of understanding. And so their posture is, the miraculous ceased when the last apostle died. Their reasoning is Jesus delegated authority only to the apostles. And so they connect spiritual authority with a role of being an apostle. But I want us to see very clearly in Scripture that that is not true. that spiritual authority is not connected to a role. It's connected to the name of Jesus. Amen. And we'll see it very clearly right there in the gospel. So I don't understand how, you know, thank God for these theologians, but I don't understand how you overlook something so simple. It's right there. Because right after Jesus called the 12 apostles, Luke records for us in Luke chapter 10 that he got another 70 people. We don't even have their names recorded for us. 70 others. And he gave them the same authority that he gave the 12. You see this in Luke chapter 10. And we pick up in verses 17 through 19. So what did the 70 do? They went out to every city that Jesus would have gone, and they preached, and they did the same thing. And they came back to Jesus, and here's what they reported. It says here in verse 17, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. So clear. It wasn't that they were appointed apostles. They were just 70 followers of Jesus. And they went into all these cities and towns and villages, and they just used the name of Jesus, and they saw demons running. They saw devils being cast out. And they came back with this report. Lord, the demons are subject to us in your name. It's very clear. That spiritual authority, that delegated power, was not connected to a role. It was connected to the name of Jesus. The name. Very interestingly, Jesus continues as we read this passage, and he says, I'm paraphrasing this. It's not there. I'm just paraphrasing this. It's like, guys, you saw the devil's running. I saw Satan falling. So verse 18, he says, behold, you know, verse 18, Luke 10, 18. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Now, you know, there is some debate as to what exactly Jesus was referring to. And my understanding is he was talking about the time in the dateless past when, according to what we read in Revelation 12, Isaiah 14, Ezekiel 28, Lucifer, one of the archangels who was in charge of worship, he drew a third of the angels with him and rebelled against God, but he was cast out of heaven. And so Jesus is saying that in Luke 10, 18, I saw Satan being kicked out. You guys are happy you're sending him out of people. And I saw the big thing. I saw Satan being cast out of heaven. And then he says this powerful words. Luke 10, 19. Whom is he talking to? He's talking to 70 ordinary followers. Like you and me. He's not talking to the apostles. And he tells them, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. And that is like, man, you're going to crush them underneath your feet. It's symbolic of absolute mastery, absolute dominion over Satan and his demons. Now that's got to sink in to us as believers. That Jesus said, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Over all. Not some. Over all the power of the enemy. I give you authority. The Lord Jesus has given you authority. It's got delegated authority. He's given it to you. And you say, I don't know, I don't feel like it. It's not about your feeling. He spoke the words. That's enough. He's given you authority. You have it. And we look at the basis of this authority today. He says, I give you authority to do what? To trample on serpents and scorpions. That means you have complete, as a believer, you've got complete, absolute dominion and mastery over Satan and his demons. Give authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. And over all the power of the enemy. Now, it's interesting to look at the Greek words. When Jesus said, I give you authority, that's the Greek word exousia, which means delegated authority. When he used the word power, it's a Greek word dunamis, which means ability, supernatural ability. So what Jesus is saying is, I've given you authority over all the ability of the enemy. I'm giving you authority over all the ability of the enemy. Whatever the devil can do. Kuch bhi karo. Whatever you can do, I've been given authority. For those of you who don't understand Hindi, I know a little bit. Do what you want. I give you authority over all the ability. Whatever the devil can do, you've got authority over it. And so, devil is doing this, devil is doing that. Okay, you have authority over it. Don't be afraid. I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. And then look at the last part of that phrase. And nothing will by any means hurt you. Nothing will by any means hurt you. And here again, you know, there's all these wrong ideas that tend to float around in the Christian church. One of these is, oh, be careful if you go on missions trip. Because if you go on missions trip, when you come back, the devil will retaliate. And so there's like, there'll be a backlash. He will come attacking you. Who said? Jesus said, nothing will by any means hurt you. Full stop. So get rid of all these wrong ideas. Somebody says something, keep on saying it. Just read the Bible. Read the Bible. What did Jesus say? He said, nothing will by any means hurt you. Nothing means nothing. Nothing will by any means hurt you. So go on mission trips happily, not fearfully. Come back happy. Because nothing will by any means hurt you. Whether you're in Bangalore or out there somewhere doing missions or when you come back, nothing will by any means hurt you. His word. That's his word. That's the truth. Amen? And this was given to 70 followers whose names we don't have. They were not apostles. So spiritual authority is not tied to the role of an apostle. Of course, the role of an apostle has a responsibility, but spiritual authority is not tied to it. It's for all believers. Amen? And then, very interesting, in Mark chapter 9, verses 38 and 39, the 12 apostles of Jesus, one day they see a man. They see a person. And this is what happens in Mark 9. 38, 39, John, the beloved disciple, he comes to Jesus, teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name. And we forbade him because he does not follow us. Look at John. Like he's a little confused. This man, he's not an apostle. You didn't appoint him, but he's using your name and he's casting demons out. And what did Jesus respond? Verse 20, 39, Jesus said, do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. It don't stop him. Yeah, he's not one of the 12. Maybe he wasn't one of the 70. Some unknown person. But he was a follower. He believed in Jesus. He took that name and he's doing miracles in that name. And Jesus says, don't stop him. For no one can do a miracle in my name that he's going to speak evil against me afterwards. So there are miracles in that name. It was authority that was in that name. So the first thing, today we're going to talk about four bases of our spiritual authority. Number one is this: our authority is in the name of Jesus and our right to use that name. Every believer, you sitting here, you have the right to use the name of Jesus. Jesus put it so clearly, so plainly in Mark 16, verses 17 and 18. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. And he adds to the list. So, if people say, the days of the miraculous ceased with the last apostle, hey, look at this verse. These signs will follow the apostles? No. These signs will follow those who believe. Are you a believer? Do we have believers around today? Of course. These signs will follow those who believe. What will they do? In my name. Do we have access to the name? Yes. Can we use that name? Yes. Has that name lost any of its power and glory? No. Has the name lost any of its authority? No. So if the name could do those powerful things back then, that name, and in that name, we can still see powerful things happen today. Amen. In my name, those who believe, you're a believer, Jesus has given you the right to use his name. Every believer. You know, in modern language, we will call it the power of attorney. You know, you signed a legal affidavit. So, example, John gives Paul the power of attorney. You signed, that means Paul can transact on behalf of John. Whatever John wants done, Paul will do. Because he has the power of attorney. Same thing. Jesus has given you the power of attorney. That in his name, you will do the very things that he would do if he was standing here physically present. That's what the power of attorney is. Amen? So that's the first basis. Second, we see that our spiritual authority is through the power of the Holy Spirit who is with us. Our spiritual authority is through the power of the Holy Spirit who is with us. Sorry for that break. Let's say this together. Our spiritual authority is through the power of the Holy Spirit who is with us. Now, you know, when we again consider the ministry of the Lord Jesus, we see that as he cast out evil spirits, even the Lord Jesus said he did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. Example, Matthew 12, verse 28. Jesus said, if I, by the Spirit of God, cast out devils, then no doubt the kingdom of God has come to you. How did he do it? If I, by the Spirit of God, cast out devils. So even Jesus, in his earthly ministry, he did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the same Holy Spirit is in you and upon you, with you. Same Holy Spirit who was with Jesus is with you, in you, upon you, as believers. You know, the Apostle Peter, when he was preaching in the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. Now, Peter had been with Jesus for three and a half years. He had observed the ministry. And here he's preaching in the house of Cornelius. And he's recounting what he observed in the ministry of Jesus. And he said that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, Acts 10:38, with the Holy Spirit and power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. Notice that phrase, healing all who are oppressed by the devil, because God was with him. So there are some things that are directly because of the devil. And we're not saying everything that you have, you know, oh, I have a headache, that's a devil, spirit of headache. No, no, maybe you didn't have your breakfast. Right? Maybe it's as simple as that. Maybe you just need to drink some water or have some food. I don't know. So don't, every little thing, don't say it's the devil. Some things, you know, don't get so spiritual. Calm down. Some things are just normal things. But there are things that are because of the devil. You got to recognize what is of that and deal with the devil. So both these verses are telling us that Jesus was so empowered by the Holy Spirit and he cast out devils. And what we're saying is, you as a believer, the same Holy Spirit is in you, is upon you. And John wrote this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. We know this. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Let's say it together. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. So imagine this. Picture what's happening in the realm of the spirit. When you walk into a room, and let's say there are people who are, you know, there are demons there, people are troubled. When you walk into the room, what do they see? They see that the greater one has come in to the room. Not because you are there. I mean, it is because you are there, sorry. It's not that, it's not about you. It's about the one who is inside you. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So when you walk into the room as a believer, you brought the greater one into that room. And that's what the devil see. Oh, greater ones come. Not talking about you, but the one inside you. So think about this. If your friend is struggling, some addiction, some emotional problem, some other kinds of struggles they're going through, and you say, you know, maybe this is because of demonic work. And you walk into the place where they are, you've brought the greater one into that situation. The one who is much more stronger than all the devils that may be operating there has just walked into that room because you went there. Because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Amen? And because of him, you can drive out evil spirits. He's with you. The Holy Spirit is with you. The third basis for our authority, our spiritual authority, is the cross of Jesus Christ. Our authority over Satan and demons is because of the triumph of the cross. And this is something I want all of us should be so deeply rooted in. The cross of Jesus and what he finished for us on the cross. Now, there are several scriptures on this, and we're going to just look at one today. It's in Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Are you all with me? Colossians 2, 14 and 15, the Apostle Paul is describing to us what happened on the cross. He writes, he says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us. So on the cross, all the thou shalt requirements, which for all of us, I failed. The handwriting of requirements that was against us, he took it out of the way. He said, okay, no more of this. Which was contrary to us. Verse 14, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And what else did he do on the cross? Verse 15, having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. That means on the cross, in the cross. What did he do on the cross? He disarmed principalities and powers. Talking about Satan and all his demons. He disarmed them, stripped them of all their power. He disarmed principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them in Paul's mind, the Apostle Paul, as he's writing this, and you can see it in the Greek words he uses, he has this picture of a triumphant general who has vanquished his foes. And he's leading out in a procession. Out in front is this conquering, victorious general. Right behind him are all the vanquished foes, these enemies. They are stripped naked. They are humiliated, and they are forced to march in this procession. And behind them are all the civilians, people, you know, part of the general's people. They're all shouting, celebrating, coming, joining. Now, they didn't fight. They didn't move a finger, but they're part of the victory procession. The victory that was won by the general is their victory. So Paul has this picture. He says Christ disarmed the principalities and powers, and he made a public spectacle of them. He put them on public display in the spiritual realm that they have been disarmed. They have been rendered powerless. And why did Jesus do that? For you and me. He didn't do it because he needed it. He was already Lord, God, and sovereign. But he came as a man. And he did it for you and me. Amen. So you and I can walk in the triumph of the cross. Know that Satan and all his demons are disarmed. Now, the way God worked in my life, you know, from my early teens, I began to learn these things. So I understood my identity in Christ. I understood my spiritual authority, and I was so excited. I learned about faith, and I learned about all these wonderful things that are in the Bible. And I was looking, where is the devil? We're learning about authority. You got to exercise that authority. Where is he? You know? So I was like, man, when am I going to see these demons? You know, going to deal with these things? Because we've learned about these. I've got to cast them out. Where am I going to? So in those days, we used to pray for people, we used to pray for the sick, but we never saw any of these manifestations, you know. I'm not saying people didn't get help. They got help, but we didn't see those manifestations. But I remember when I was 25, in those years, we used to do these gospel crusades, open air meetings, and go to different places, do these open air meetings. And I was in South India, on the border of Kerala and Tamil Nadu, that area, traveling in those places, those days. Doing these gospel crusades. I remember my first encounter, very first encounter. I had to, you know, wait, like, where is... So after preaching the gospel message, giving salvation call, altar call, then we'd pray mass prayers, and then people would line up in prayer. And I remember this particular place. It was kind of late in the evening. People had lined up for prayer. But already service was already 3 hours long. Thank God we're not putting you through that these days. And this is after the 3-hour service, okay? People are lined up, we're praying, and this woman comes in front, and I have this strange feeling that something's not right, that she's going to fall. So I had one young friend with me, John, because I was a young man, must be 21, 22. I said, John, you stand behind her, I think she's going to fall. So I'm just going to put my hand on her, and right there in front, all those people standing, all those demons start speaking. Now they're speaking in Tamil. I can understand a little bit of Tamil. Right? And this demon says, we are 6,000 demons. You cannot cast us out. Now is my chance. I've been waiting for this for 10 years. I know about my authority. Now's the chance. I don't care. 6,000, how many thousand? So in the name of Jesus, all 6,000 of you come out in Jesus' name. And this lady was starting to growl, make the sounds like a pig and making terrible noises. And she started moving. Everybody moved out. It's all, you know, dust ground. Nothing, no mat and all. There's just ground. She started moving like this, and I just saying, you know, we are 6,000 demons. We've been living in her for 18 years. You can't send us out. They began to describe, you know, when they came into her, and I said, all this information I don't need. You know? All right, I want to get these demons out. I read about all this in the Bible. I've been soaking it in. Here's my chance. You know, how is it going to happen? And I remember at that time. Well, this was the lady was there. I was standing here, and she was moving around. I was just The Holy Spirit said, tell them what Jesus did to their master on the cross. I said, you devils, you know what my master, Jesus, did to your master, the devil, on the cross. How he crushed him and disarmed all of you. And in his name, in the name of Jesus, I command all of you, come out. So when I declared the cross, what Jesus did on the cross, that lady was just thrown on the floor, just lay there. No, completely delivered. No, they just left. You know, now, I just want us to understand the power of the cross. The devils know it. For them, it's real. For some of us believers, we're still trying to believe. They know what happened on the cross. They know. And since that time, we have many instances. Usually it's out when we go on mission trips, you know, but we'll start seeing some here. Bring your friends. But the point is, the devils know what happened on the cross. They know. And it's real. I said, in the name of my master, who destroyed your master on the cross. Come on. Left. So that's the third basis of our authority. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. What Jesus finished on the cross, he disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them. Job is done. Now you and I get to walk in the authority of that finished work. We are here just to enforce it. The work was done. He did it. We are here to enforce it in the lives of people. The devil, you have no right here. So walk. Be assured. That's something that should really sink in. The authority of the cross. So think about all this. The name of Jesus is for all believers. The Holy Spirit is for all believers. Not just for the apostles. Not just for the early church. And the cross of Jesus is for all believers. It's not just for the early church. Not just for the apostles. It's for all of us. And the last thing that I want to bring our attention to, the last basis of our spiritual authority that we talk about this morning, is the fact that all of us, that Christ has raised all of us to sit at his right hand in a place of authority. Jesus has raised all of us as believers to sit with him in a place of authority. All believers, you are seated on the same throne that Jesus is sitting. Think about that. He didn't say, I'll sit there and you sit there. No. He said, come be seated with me. He has made us sit together with him in the heavenly realms. So that's your place. Again, the devil knows it. He knows it. Every demon knows it. They know where you are seated. That you are seated on that same throne. In Christ. And Satan and his demons are underneath your feet. Underneath. Way below your feet. Because you're seated in heavenly places, in the heavenly realms, in Christ, at the Father's right hand. Ephesians chapter 2, we'll read it, verses 4 through 6. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He raised us up and he made us sit together in heavenly places. So that when you are speaking, think about this. When you are speaking, you're not speaking from earth realm. Your words are coming from the throne of God. In the spiritual realm, when you walk into that room and somebody is demon possessed and you're saying, "Devil, I command you in the name of Jesus, leave." Those words are not coming from earth. They're coming from the right hand of the Father. Because that's where you're seated, in the spiritual realm. Are you understanding? Yes, in the natural, we are here physically. We are here. But you're also spiritually seated at the right hand of the Father. That's where those words are coming. I know in the Old Testament, this is Psalm 8, verse 3. The psalmist, he wrote this. Out of the mouth of infants. And the way the psalmist said it, I'm quoting that. Out of the mouth of infants, you have ordained strength, power, ability, that you might stop the enemy and still the avenger. Think of it. Not out of the mouth of some big, big people. Out of the mouth of infants. You release strength. The devil is stopped. Think about that. Amen? That's it. So don't look at yourself and say, "Oh, I'm not like this. I'm such a small believer. I only prayed 2 minutes today." Hey. You have the name of Jesus. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. The cross is a finished work. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. And out of the mouth of infants, God will release strength that will stop the enemy. Are you listening? Amen. So that's the basis, your position there. So obviously the question is, and like I'm pointing out, none of these things are connected to the role of an apostle. None of this. So this notion that the miraculous ceased with the last apostle is wrong. It's obvious in Scripture. Our spiritual authority is God-given. It's very valid for today, for all of us as believers. Now, so how do we exercise this authority? We exercise our spiritual authority by speaking words of command in faith. Speak words of command in faith. That's how we exercise our spiritual authority. Like we saw Jesus do. He cast out the spirits with a word and healed all those who were sick. He didn't say, come, I'll sprinkle water. No. He didn't come, I'll do something. No. He cast out the spirits with the word. Now, if the Holy Spirit prompts you to do something different, it's okay. But don't do drama. No need drama. The devil won't run because of your drama. He recognizes spiritual authority. He recognizes that. So don't, there's no need for drama. Just speak words of command in the name of Jesus Christ. And don't have to shout, because it's not the volume of your voice that scares the devil. Just whisper. And if you have authority, just whisper. It's enough. He knows what's coming. So don't even have to shout and scream. You don't need the mic. So why can't I cast the devil? I don't have mic. You don't need the mic. It's not the mic that gives you the authority. It's Jesus Christ. It's His name. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the finished work of the cross. It's the fact that you're seated in heavenly places. That's what gives you the authority. So sometimes we have all these wrong ideas. Just get rid of them. Amen? But I want to emphasize, it's got to be done in faith. It's got to be done in faith. And that's the point. Many of us are not convinced that we've got this authority, this God-given authority, and we don't use it when we face these situations. So I want to encourage all of us, God's given you this authority. The next time you encounter a situation where you think, man, this could be the devil, jump right in and exercise your spiritual authority. Very simple. Speak in the name of Jesus. Command. You bind what the devil is doing and you loose the people or the people who are affected. You loose them from it. Set them free from it. So you bind what the devil's doing, loose the people. You evict the devil. You say, devil, I get out. You say, what? How much are you? I must cast it out. Just tell him, get out. Get out. You know, whatever language. Just get out. In the name of Jesus. In the Gospels, we have an instance when the disciples experienced failure. They probably had more, I don't know, but we have one recorded instance in Matthew 17, also in Mark 9. You know, Jesus was away with three of his disciples on the Mount of Transfiguration. Nine of them were left alone. And that day, I don't know what happened because they had seen success all the other days. But that particular day, this man brings his son. Now look at the symptoms. It says, sometimes he jumps in the fire. Sometimes he jumps into the water. So he's suicidal, self-harming. So you see the symptoms. Not normal. Something's wrong. So he brings him in to the disciples. Nine of them are there. But that day, it just didn't happen. Couldn't get it done. So Jesus comes and they're all embarrassed. And of course, Jesus helps the man, sets the boy free. And then when they go back privately to Jesus, the Lord, Matthew 17, 19. Lord, why could we not cast it out? What went wrong? Why could we not do it? Because we've done it before. They've been doing it. They've been using the name of Jesus. But this particular situation, why could we not cast it out? Jesus gave the answer. Simple answer. Verse 20. Because of your unbelief. Matthew 17, 20. Because of your unbelief. So it's so important for you and me to be in that place of faith. To be in that place where you know that you know that you know you have authority. If there's anybody who's going to listen, it's going to be the devil listening to you. Not the other way. You know it. Stand in your authority. Now remember now, I don't do this all the time. Fact is, I've done it only once in my life. Where, you know, this was in Varanasi. We were doing a pastor's conference. And some of you may have been there because we were also doing a youth conference side by side. So our young people were ministering the youth conference. I was in the pastor's conference. I didn't expect anybody to be demon-possessed in a pastor's conference. I wasn't expecting it. This was day two. So we had maybe 200 pastors. And I forget what the subject was, but, you know, we were just teaching. And at the end of the second session on day two, I just felt prompted at that time. And we just praying. I said, okay, session, we're going to go for tea break. Let's all stand. All the pastors stood. And this is very unusual because I don't always do this in every pastor's conference. But at that time, I just felt prompted, take authority of the devil. So I just, standing there, I said, Satan, I take authority over you. And in the second row, one pastor, I don't want to say pastor, I don't know him, but he's in a pastor's conference, so I'm assuming he's some sort of a pastor or a Christian leader or something. He just started manifesting. Right there, in front. And he came forward. And now this time he's speaking in Hindi. So the devils will speak the language of the person. I'm not very good in Hindi. I didn't understand everything he said. I don't know what all he said. But he was very wild, very aggressive. And he was coming straight like this from there. Very aggressive. And this man was quite strong. Very aggressive. And I'm standing there. I'm just responding in English. So, in the name of Jesus, come up. My interpreter stopped. No interpretation. So English to Hindi conversation. I don't know what he's saying. Something is shouting in Hindi. I don't know. But all I know is devils have to come out. So I don't understand what all he was shouting. But it was very aggressive. He's coming straight. Now, pastor's conference, I'm not expecting manifestations, but it's happening. Now, something unusual happened at that time. I've never done it before, and I haven't done it since, you know. But at that time, the Holy Spirit dropped a funny thought. And the thought was this. Tell the devils you'll count till three, and they have to leave. I said, I've never done this before. And it's not some formula given in the Bible. Go everywhere, count till three in my name, and the devils will leave. It's not a formula. It's not in the Bible. But at that moment, the thought was given. So all the pastors were watching. And by this time, finally, everybody's got mobile phone. Everybody on mobile phone recording what's happening. And that's, you know, that's what happens these days. This man is coming. He's come right here. So I say, devil, you listen to me. I will count till three and you have to leave. So everybody's watching. So one. He's shouting something. I don't know what he's shouting. I said, two. Still shouting something. And I said, three. And he won't believe this. In slow motion. He went like this. Went on his knees and flat fell on his face. That's the authority that God has given to us. Amen? And he just lied there. I don't know, for the next 10, 15 minutes, I didn't bother. They just continued ministering, praying, go. Now, that's the kind of confidence I want us all to be in. That you know you have authority. And even if you're counting one, two, three, grass is green, sky is blue, whatever you say, the devil has to listen to you. That's the authority he's given. I'm not saying we use a formula. I don't simply go, everybody say one, two, three, one, two, three. It's not a formula. Just that at that moment, you know, he gave that idea. I never tried it before. But at that moment, I said, because the Holy Spirit gave that word, I said, dude, it was a little dramatic. One, two, three. But the point is, our authority, your authority in Jesus Christ, every believer sitting here has been given the same authority. Nothing different. The question is, do we believe? Do we believe? Because Jesus told them, his disciples, that day, what went wrong? We were doing it before. What went wrong today? Your unbelief. And he says, see, he gave them the same statement of faith that he gave at other times. He said, if you have faith, like a mustard seed, you tell the mountain to move, it'll move. Nothing will be impossible to you. So he said, it's not a problem of bigger demon, smaller demon, bigger. No, no. Your faith. Whether it's a mountain of demons, tell it to move. Nothing will be impossible to you. It's a faith in your heart that matters. And something must have happened that day. I don't know. Maybe they were all upset that day because Jesus didn't take them up the mountain. I don't know. Said, hey, he took Peter, James, and John. He left. So maybe all nine of them were like, nothing to do with this Jesus. I don't know. I'm just imagining. But something went wrong that day where they were not in that place of faith. And that's why they didn't see it. But he told them, that's what you need. And he went on to say, verse 21, this kind doesn't come out except by prayer and fasting. That means Prayer and fasting deals with the unbelief that's hindering us from dealing with this, whatever kind it is. So there may be times you and I do prayer and fasting to get rid of unbelief, but the most important thing is keep yourself in that place of faith. Now, we're going to pray some crazy prayers. Worship team, please come. Of course, today we're just going to pray for people here. And I believe that deliverance doesn't always have to be dramatic. You know, it doesn't have to be so noisy. I believe sometimes the best thing is when the devil just quietly packs and leaves. Just takes his bag and leaves. And I know so many people have walked into this place. They came in with addictions, with problems. They went back. They're free. We didn't have necessarily some big drama, dramatic manifestation, but I believe those unclean spirits, spirits of addiction, things holding, just quietly left. And they experience freedom in their lives. They experience freedom. So it doesn't mean that every time deliverance has to be so noisy. It doesn't have to be. In fact, less noise, better. Jesus told the devils, keep quiet and go. He didn't say make more noise. You know, sometimes today's Buddhism is a please make more noise. Come on, videos, record. We don't need that. Keep quiet, go. The quieter it is, wonderful. So, we'll pray here for people here. If there are things that are happening in your life you can't explain, problems in your body, your mind, as I speak from here, I want all of you also to take authority in your own lives, over anything that might be troubling, tormenting, disturbing. And if it's the devil, deal. Don't put up with it. Cast it out. Resist it. Drive it out. And we also want to pray that God will set things up in our lives. That he'll set up situations where when you go in there, there'll be people who are waiting for help. That you will bring help to them. That the word you've heard today, that God will set things up, he will force you to practice. Right? So it's not just a sermon you hear on Sunday, but that God will set up things in your life, that he'll send you to people who need help. And then, be bold. Don't back off in fear. People, if you need to get two or three believers together, do it. And join together and minister in the name of Jesus. Set people free. Destroy the works of the devil. Don't let it remain there. You know, the Bible talks about the ministry of Jesus for this purpose. 1 John 3:8. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. That's why he came. To destroy. And he said, as my Father sent me, I have sent you. Go destroy the works of the devil. So we're going to pray that God will set things up in our lives where you will have opportunities to destroy the works of the devil. Set people free. Amen? Let's rise to our feet, please. Father, we thank you for the truth and the power of your word. That your word is alive and full of power. That God, your word is sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, to the very core of our being. Father, your word has gone forth, and now confirm your word in this place. Now, Lord, do mighty things in this place. We thank you for the power of the name of Jesus that all of us have access to. Thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that all of us have access to, that he dwells in us, he rests upon us. Thank you, Lord, for the finished work of the cross where Jesus crushed the head of the enemy, where he disarmed the principalities and powers, and he made a public show of them. Where he destroyed the one who had the power of death, that is the devil. Thank you for the finished work of the cross. And Father, thank you that you raised us up and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Each one of us as believers, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ. And so right now, we thank you for the authority that you've given us. And we choose not to tolerate, not to put up with any work of the devil. We are bold, we are fearless, we know that we have absolute mastery, complete authority and dominion over Satan and his demons. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, in this place, and those watching online, wherever you are, whichever part of the world you are, let the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ be extended to you. For those of you in this auditorium, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over every foul spirit of the enemy, every evil spirit, every tormenting, oppressive spirit, every spirit causing any kind of physical malfunction, emotional disturbance, you foul spirits of infirmity, in the name of Jesus, leave. Every foul, tormenting, oppressive spirit, in the name of Jesus, leave. And God, let people experience complete deliverance, complete freedom in this place, those watching online, wherever they are. I come against you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I come against your works of sickness and disease. I come against your works of torment and oppression. I come against your works causing confusion, disturbances. I come against your works of holding people in bondage and into addictions, wrong behaviors. And in Jesus' name, destroy all of those works. In the name of Jesus, I destroy your works and I set the people free. I set the people free in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just thank you for the power, the authority that's in the name of Jesus. In that powerful name, in that mighty name, we declare every person saved, healed, delivered. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And Father, we pray that as we, your people, God, you will set us up. You will set us up. When we go out into this world, you'll set up divine appointments where we will find ourselves in situations where we've got to use the authority that you placed in our lives to minister to people. So that they will encounter Jesus, they will know that Jesus Christ is real. His power is real. God, set it up for each of us. Set up those divine moments, God, where we will exercise our spiritual authority. We thank you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the sweet fellowship of His Holy Spirit be with each of us always. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's sing our theme song, our vision. Please sit.